Welcome to Pediatrica, a research and innovation podcast brought to you by Children's Health of Orange County. I'm Melanie Cole, and joining me today is Dr. Sharif Taraman. He's a pediatric neurologist with Children's Health of Orange County, and he's here to highlight pediatric healthcare innovation. Dr. Taraman, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and it's such an exciting time in healthcare innovation overall. But tell us a little bit about pediatric healthcare innovation and what inspired you to innovate in the pediatric health space.
Thank you for having me, Melanie. Pediatric innovation is a really interesting topic, and it's something that I think really stemmed from, in my training, I had exposure to this surge of electronic medical records being created and implemented in the hospitals. And so when I joined CHOC, I was able to have a carve out of my time, be dedicated to supporting the organization's development and use of information technology. And I think that really was a spark for me to extend beyond electronic medical records and really think about innovation, both on a IT side of things or software-based innovations, but then also getting into more physical innovations. And in fact, it even set up the foundation for me to be able to be inducted as a clinical informaticist and get a board certification in that during my time at CHOC.
What an exciting time. And this is such an exciting topic. So first, let's talk about some of the biggest challenges and opportunities in pediatric innovation. What have you seen as you get into this? What have you seen are some of the biggest needs?
So there's actually really interesting areas that are advancing quickly in innovation in healthcare. Artificial intelligence is one of the biggest ones. And we are very fortunate at CHOC to have not only myself as an informaticist, but several other informaticists and one of the leading artificial intelligence experts in the nation, who happens to be a pediatric cardiologist, by the way, Dr. Anthony Chang. And so this group has really been looking at how do we take the information and what we learn from many, many, many patients and personalize that to an individual patient. And we call that precision medicine, but that's really looking at things like rare diseases where, you know, if you go to the literature or you go to the research that's been done, there's typically like a paucity of information, right? We don't know a lot. And so can you leverage the millions of patients that we've seen at our organization and actually millions and millions of patients that have been seen throughout the US and understand their disorder, understand their treatment, and really make recommendations that are very specific to an individual patient? So that's one really big emerging area. Other areas that I think are really interesting and have really moved us forward is an area called nanomedicine. This is really, really tiny particles that you can create that can go places that you couldn't typically get to. And as a neurologist, we actually have a part of your body called the blood-brain barrier. And this is a really tight junction that prevents chemicals and medicines from actually getting into the brain. It's a protective mechanism so we don't get infections in our brain. But it makes it hard to get medicines through. And so nanoparticles are a concept in which you can create medicines packaged in these really tiny particles that actually can get to the brain. We actually have a patent that uses light embedded within a nanoparticle to help try and treat neuro disorders of the brain and the central nervous system, which we're working on. Other areas that I think are also emerging are medical device innovation. So creating medical devices, we can talk a little bit about those. There's areas around innovative use of like healthcare delivery, software as a medical device. I mean, there's so many emerging areas. Our gene therapies, our 3D printing, all of these are so exciting. And they're areas that we've been really making advances at CHOC. Sorry, I'm so excited about this topic that I forgot. There's even also augmented reality and virtual reality and what we call XR. So many really exciting things happening for our patients and for our clinicians to be able to provide the highest quality care and really innovative care as we kind of move forward.
How exciting. This is so fascinating, Dr. Taraman. And just for one second, switching away from the devices, because of the pandemic, and we've seen telemedicine come onto the picture, which is something that's really helped patients connect and that shared decision-making and connect with their doctors, even during the pandemic. But one other thing that I have noticed is not only the innovation in terms of technology and devices, but as a philosophical shift from providers working in silos to working together, this multidisciplinary approach to medicine, taking advantage of artificial intelligence and clinical research and things that you've been discussing here to disseminate the data and research quickly, and even for public health emergencies. What have you seen and what do you think about that?
Great topic. You know, telemedicine, it's been around for a long time, but adoption has not been the greatest. I had the benefit of actually during my residency training, learning how to do stroke consults. We would cover the whole state that I was in. We were the major children's hospital at that point. And so I was able to bring that over to Chalk when I joined. And so we were doing telemedicine, but we were doing it for emergency type situations. And I think one of the interesting things is maybe one of the silver linings of the pandemic is it forced us to think differently about how we do healthcare and how we collaborate. And so now, because it's sort of the norm and patients are more accepting of it, for example, if I'm at an offsite location and I'm doing my concussion or head injury clinic and I need a neuropsychologist, I can add them to that visit. They don't have to drive down an hour in Orange County traffic to come see the patient and help me assess them. I can add them instantaneously to the visit. And we've done that now. And so that's fantastic. So we've even figured out how to do this in a hybrid way. And then to your other point, part of what we're doing is the world's become a much smaller place now that you can do telemedicine. And again, it's become much more widely accepted. And so you would do your video conferences or your phone conferences, but maybe not at the same frequency. So in fact, once a week, we convene a group of innovative children's hospitals across the United States and actually internationally. It's called the International Society for Pediatric Innovation. And this was spawned out of Chalk. And we meet once a week and we share ideas about how to be innovative and what challenges are you having at your hospital across the world? How can we support you? How do we collaborate? One of the projects that's actually going to kick off pretty soon is this ability to learn from data without actually sharing the data. What that means is, so for example, if a patient has an imaging study, one of the things that we want to do is we don't want to send that information or the pictures of the image outside, right? That violates patient privacy, et cetera. But we could potentially extract features from that imaging study and then compare it to other features from other studies across the world and then get learnings back. And so again, for rare diseases, so I'm not sure if people know, but Chalk is designated as a center for rare disease from this organization called NORD. And so when we get one of these rare diseases, being able to take learnings from all over the world and apply it back to our patient population is something that most hospitals can't do. And so Chalk is leading the way in being able to do things like that.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's absolutely amazing that you're able to connect globally now, really. And as we're talking, Dr. Terriman, about digital therapeutics, adolescent mental health, to virtual reality, which you mentioned, that can help educate parents on pediatric medical devices, robotic companions. I mean, it's getting really, really, it's so broad now. Give us some special considerations that might be necessary when you're innovating in pediatrics and with other special populations that would be a little bit different when we think of innovations in healthcare that might affect the adult population or other special populations.
Absolutely. So special populations is actually a special category, no pun intended, but a special category within the Food and Drug Administration. And so they really do think about children as a special population. But if you think about it, anybody who has a chronic medical condition is really a special population. And so when you think about these groups, one of the reasons that I got into pediatrics is it's exciting because kids are a moving target, right? They're not static. They're not born walking and talking. They develop that over time. And especially the sort of neurodevelopment is interesting to me. And so you have to take in consideration what works for a 3-year-old is not going to work necessarily for a 13-year-old. When we think about 3D printing, one of the beautiful advantages of that is we can maybe create devices that grow with the patient. And that's very different than an adult, where maybe you're going to put in a device and you don't have to worry about their body changing, growing longer or getting taller type stuff. That doesn't really happen. You get your growth spurt and then you're done. And so these challenges are definitely unique to pediatrics. Again, thinking about privacy issues, these are really important for us. Diversity is a huge importance across all groups, but especially pediatrics. So for example, I had done some work around software to help identify children with autism. This is a challenge because we don't have enough neurologists. We don't have enough developmental pediatricians in the US. There's a shortage. And so if you wanted to get an autism diagnosis, you have to see one of these specialists, but there's not that many. And so what we did is we helped get enough patients, enough diversity of patients, enough neurodiversity of patients to be able to help create a software that now is market authorized by the FDA to aid in the diagnosis of autism. So if you go to your pediatrician or your primary care physician at Chalk and they're concerned about autism, they can actually order this software as a medical device. It's an application, you download it, and the pediatrician can help make the diagnosis. And the parents don't have to wait to get in to see a neurologist or a developmental pediatrician.
This is such a great conversation. I have so many questions, but we don't have as much time as I would like. So before we wrap up, what do you see coming in the near future of pediatric medical device innovation? We've seen even things like the pandemic, Dr. Terriman, encouraging healthcare systems to be more creative and innovative in their ability to deliver essential care. What do you see happening in the future? Give us a little blueprint.
I think the two things that I see, and it's already started, and again, Chalk is really leading this, is one, patient-centric. I think the best ideas and the people that know the problem the best are the people that are living with the thing that's happening to them. And so I look to my patients. There's a young man named Dylan, who's a great example of that. He came to us at Chalk and said, hey, make me an Iron Man suit. I've got this condition called ataxic cerebral palsy, and I can't use my arms like I want to. They shake and they don't move when I want them to move, and they don't move how I want them to move. Of course, we can't make an Iron Man suit, but we did what we could, and we actually worked on a brace with him and some biomedical engineering students at one of our university partners, University of California, Irvine. And we created a new brace. He's actually a named inventor on the product, and we're going through clinical trials right now. It's a finalist in a pediatric device consortium through the FDA. It's pretty cool. So I think getting patients and engaging our families and saying, how can we innovate together, I think is going to be one of the big future points of healthcare innovation. I think the second one that's really moving forward is we run an internship in medical intelligence and innovation every summer, and we take about 70 students, high school graduate and undergraduate students. And what we do is we teach them about healthcare innovation. The older kids actually come and they shadow us and round with us in the hospital and in clinics, and they get to see healthcare firsthand. And part of that is, I think we have a responsibility to train the next generation of clinicians to think innovatively. We've been doing healthcare pretty much the same as it's always been for the past 20, 30, maybe even 50 years. And the reality is that healthcare is moving very quickly. And I hate to say this, but COVID's not going to be the last pandemic we see. And so we have to be able to move quickly, innovatively, when we get these challenges in healthcare. And again, the technology is moving. And so if we don't train the next generation to really move with us and be quick, I think we've done a disservice.
Beautifully put. So Dr. Terriman, as we do wrap up, as healthcare systems, as you said, both nationally and globally, are working together to provide accessibility to the best care practices for all children, what advice would you give to your colleagues who are thinking about becoming innovators? What would you like the key message to be?
I don't know if I'm allowed to steal from Nike, but I would say just do it. So in all fairness, I think you have to be passionate about this. So if you have an idea, if a patient has an idea, let's run with it. Let's see how can we support it. And the beautiful thing about, and one of the reasons that I really love where I work, is we have the ability and we have people that can help, because it's not an individual thing, right? I don't innovate in a silo. I innovate with a team. I innovate with my patients. I innovate with my colleagues. And the other thing too is the innovation happens all across the organization. I mean, we have people, they're not just physicians, right? We have nurses innovating. We've got people who are therapists innovating. We've got music therapists innovating, everything across the whole organization. And I think it's a mindset. So once you can get the organization to think about, here's a challenge, here's an opportunity, how do I make this better? That's the Chalk way and how we do things.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taramon. What an exciting time to be an innovator in the pediatric healthcare setting. And thank you so much for joining us and sharing all the exciting advancements in your field. For more information on pediatric healthcare innovation, please visit chalk.org/MI3. Thank you so much for listening to Pediatrica, a pediatric research and innovation podcast presented by clinicians and researchers at Children's Health of Orange County. To learn more about Children's Health of Orange County and to refer your patient, please visit chalk.org for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. I'm Melanie Cole.